So we are reading from Srimad the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, the Yoga of the Supreme Person, or Purushottama Yoga, text 10. Text 10, yes. 10. Utkramantam. Oh, okay. Let's first. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, let's first read the shloka. Utkramantam sthitam vapi unjanam va gunanvitam vimutha nanupashyanti pashyanti jnana chakshushaha Utkramanam sthitam vapi. Utkramantam sthitam vapi. Unjanam vagunanvitam. Unjanam vagunanvitam. Vimutha nanu pasyanti. Vimudhananu pasyanti pasyanti jnana chakshushaha pasyanti jnana chakshushaha utkramantam sthitam vapi punjanam vaganun gunanvitam Vimutham nanu pasyanti pasyanti jnana chakshushaha utkramantam sthitam vapi unjanam vagunan vitam vimutha nanu pasyanti Pashyanti jnana chakshushaha Repeat. Utkramantam sthitam vapi. Vagunanvitam. Vitam. Vimudhananu pashyanti. Yatnayana chakshusha. Ampapi Vitam Vimudanam Pashyanti Pashyanti Jnana Chakshushaha Utkramantam Sthitam Vapi Unjanam Vagunan Vitam Vimudhananu pasyanti pasyanti jnana chakshushaha utkramanam sthitam vapi unjanam navukam vidam Vimudhananu pasyanti Utkramantam, quitting the body. Sthitam, situated in the body. Va api, either. Bhunjanam, enjoying. Va, or. Guna Anvitam, under the spell of the modes of material nature. Vimudhaha, foolish persons. Na, never. Anupashyanti, can see. Pashyanti, can see. Jnana Chakshushaha, those who have the eyes of knowledge. Translation by Śrīla Prabhupāda. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Purport. The word Jnana Chakshushah is very significant. Without knowledge, one cannot understand how a living entity leaves his present body, nor what form of body he is going to take in the next life, nor even why he is living in a particular type of body. This requires a great amount of knowledge understood from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures heard from a bona fide spiritual master. One who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. Every living entity is quitting his body under certain circumstances. He is living under certain circumstances, and he is enjoying under certain circumstances under the spell of material nature. As a result, he is suffering different kinds of happiness and distress under the illusion of sense enjoyment. Persons who are everlastingly fooled by lust and desire lose all power to understand the change of body, and they stay in the particular body. They cannot comprehend it. Those who have developed spiritual knowledge, however, can see that the spirit is different from the body and is changing its body and enjoying in different ways. A person in such knowledge can understand how the conditioned living entity is suffering in this material existence. Therefore, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general, for their conditional life is very much troublesome. They should come out of it and be Krishna conscious and liberate themselves to transfer to the spiritual world. One more time the shloka. Utkramanam sthitam vapi bhunjanam vagunan vitam vimudhananu pasyanti pasyanti jnana chakshushaha. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmei Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Namo Bishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyah Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are progressing slowly but steadily. We are in the 15th chapter. Very nice. And this is the third part of Bhagavad Gita as I remind you that first six chapters is the technical explanation of how we can, what methods we can use to elevate oneself to the platform of Vishuddha Sattva or to the platform of pure bhakti, and basically to Krishna consciousness, so we can use karma, jnana, ashtanga, buddhi yoga. So by these methods we can progress up to bhakti. Then in the middle sixth chapter there is description of bhakti, how to apply, that it's described that this is the goal of all these processes in bhakti. And then in the last six chapters, or in fact five, because the as a first chapter is just this introduction, and the second is the summary of all, there are all points of Bhagavad Gita. So in 18th chapter also is the, again, all the knowledge repeated systematically, but the, from the 13th to 17th chapter we have all the technical details how to working in karma, jnana, ashtanga or buddhi, how to in effect recognize one's position according to the faith, for example, to food we eat, etc., etc., and how to apply these details, like adjust our food, adjust our faith, to really make a progress. So the division of this chapter, I'm not sure if you were giving the general division of the what's the sections here, so I will repeat perhaps only. So the first six verses describe the detachment from illusion, okay, and attainment of the reality. So this is the description of the banyan tree. Then the verses 7 to 11, so we are here in this section, a few verses about say about transmigration of the soul. Then from the next four verses, from 12 to 15, is the describe how Krishna is the maintainer of everything, knower, and enjoyer. And the last part, from verse 16 to 20, is in fact the summary of Vedanta Sutra. So it's very, very powerful part, and it can be divided into three sections, which says about Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, or the relationship process and goal of attaining Krishna. So before I will go to the verse, I would like to speak a little bit about the this analogy of reflection of the banyan tree, which is given in the, because in the first six verses, or first two verses in fact, because this is very, very important analogy to understand our position, because it gives us the clear picture where we are, but also it's tricky because we have to remember that this is the perverted reflection, so everything goes the other way. So what does it, we have this analogy of the banyan tree, which is reflected, which is it's described as the root has upwards and the branches downwards, and its example is given of the reflection of the tree on the water, okay? So we have this water, and at certain point on the bank we can see how the two trees connect, the real tree and the reflected tree. So and what goes up, it's a real tree, what goes down, it's a reflected, this reflection. And that's the, it is said that the material world is this reflection. Okay, so it's the, if we understand then we it's a big step towards understanding our position in the material world, because it's like reflection, every kind of reflection in the mirror, for example. If we take mirror and we look in the mirror, we see reflection. We can see reflection of anything. Let's say ourselves. We look at the mirror, so we see ourselves. So if we, for example, are hungry, or if we, okay, we are hungry. So if we feed the reflection in the mirror, does it satisfy our hunger? No. Yeah, probably it increases because we will be frustrated that we are trying to satisfy the hunger by the reflection, but it's not working. And then that's the situation. The reflection, the surface, or the surface on which everything is reflected, they are our desires, okay? And as it is said in the first two verses, the tree is nourished by three modes. So we can compare these three modes to the surface, our desires. We can compared to the surface of the mirror, and the three modes to the layer of silver, let's say, which reflects, okay, everything. So when we understand this, and we understand that everything here is just reflection, then we can easily give up all the endeavors of trying to satisfy our needs, because our real needs or our real desires are desires of the soul. Okay, they are true 100%, but the point is we cannot satisfy them here because we are living in the world of reflections. Okay, so as we cannot feed ourselves by putting by trying to feed the reflection, so any attempt of satisfying our desires here in the world of reflected reality is futile. Is when you understand this, that's easy to give up all these endeavors and start searching where I am really. Okay, and realize, yes, I am standing in front of the mirror. I am not in the mirror. I am not this reflection. I am not this body. I am not this mind. I am not doing anything, okay? Because this is just reflection. And then how to... Because that's one thing, okay? We understand, but how it is possible then to do something, to elevate oneself. Okay, how by using the reflection we can do something? Because one can say, okay, so the reflection is useless, I cannot feed myself, but how is it possible to use reflection to serve Krishna, for example? So, and then I don't know if you remember, there is a book by Lewis Carroll, Alice in the Wonderland. Do you know the book? But there is the second part, Alice on the other side of the glass, or looking glass, okay? So the second part says about Alice, she goes through the mirror, through the looking glass, through the mirror, in other words, and finds herself in the world on the other side, okay? And I don't know if you remember, I like this, used to read this book. So she is in the garden, okay? And she sees, she walks out of the house, of the room of the house, and she's in the garden. Oh, it's a magical garden, because on the other side of the mirror, it's everything magical, the flower can talk, etc. Okay, but we are speaking that she is in the... on the other side, in the reflection, let's say. So then she wants to come back. Okay? And she tries hardly. She sees the house in the distance, and she runs toward the house, but every time she finishes at the end of the garden. She's perplexed. She doesn't know what to do, because every time she endeavors to get to the house, she is far away. And then she realizes, okay, this is the mirror. Everything works differently. And then she starts to walk away from the house. And then suddenly she finds herself in front of the door to the house. So that's, then it means that she understood the mechanics, how the reflection works. And that's Bhagavad Gita. That's Bhagavad Gita all about. Bhagavad Gita gives us all the knowledge about mechanics, how the material world works. Then we can do, then we can apply this, and in this way get out of this reflection world and go through the looking glass to the spiritual world, to the, you know, the real world. And then because very often there is a question how did we find ourselves in the material world, okay? There are discussions how we've fallen, okay? But it's simple. When you know how to get out, okay, so you can figure out how you came. If you fall to the well or to the some hole in the ground, okay? So when you climb up, so you understand that this is the way you can go down and come up. So this is just reverse. So, but that's the side point. But the point is, we are here in this world of reflection, and we have to get out. So that's easy. When we apply this knowledge, so we can analyze now. We can analyze in many ways. But for example, let's take. If you remember, there is the poster about the spiritual and material world. Do you remember? It's in the BLS even. And what is on the top of the poster of the spiritual world? Golokadam in the form of a lotus, and then there is Radha Krishna, rasa dance, okay? So, and look at the now reflection. What is the lowest? What binds us the most in the material world? Exactly. It's reflected as the last. And that's what binds us. So this is exactly the opposite. It's a top there, and that it's a lowest here. That's the exact reflection of the spiritual world. And then we can analyze all the aspects of the material world. And in this way, we can understand. Okay? We can understand how to apply the reflection, because anyway, the question was how to use the mechanics of this reflected world to get out. So that's what acharyas say. That's what Krishna says, because that's all the process of bhakti yoga. We just have to act in the same way as we are in the spiritual world, on the right side, on the proper side of the mirror. So then, if let's say in the reflection we want to fit ourselves, okay, so we don't put the foot into the reflection, but into the right, right, into the mouth of the right person. And who is the right person? It's Krishna, of course. So that's how, because Krishna is the source of everything. So that's by relating everything to Krishna, because he is everything, he created this world. In this way, we can serve the real real person who stands in front of the mirror, because he, this is everything which is here, it's his energy, it's reflected him, nothing else. Okay, this is his energy, and he created this, so all this reflects his potency. So when we act in the material world with this consciousness, in other words, in Krishna, with Krishna consciousness, we serve the reality behind the reflection. Okay, and that's the process of bhakti. That's the process of getting out of this world of reflection. Okay, so this I wanted to say about the reflection. Do you have any question at this point about this reflection? Because I wanted to go now to the verse, but the verse is completely a different section. It's about transmigration, so we can finish this section with the questions if you have any. Soul is how soul is reflection. Soul is spiritual, so it's not reflected. Soul is spiritual from the beginning. Soul is identifying himself with the reflection. We think we are the mind, we are the intelligence, we are false ego, we are the body. That's this identification. That's how you. If you let's say. If you are not aware that this is reflection, you think this is the real. And that's how, for example, animals act. If you put them in front of the mirror, okay? So the animals can see the other animals, so they get angry, they want to play, etc., etc. So if you have no knowledge, especially spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge, you think, okay, This is real. This is the other bodies are real, and you can enjoy. You can play with them. You can take some substance. But this is based on the false identification because you are identifying with the body, so you think the others also are real. Okay, the other body is also real. No, this is all reflection. You are not this body. The soul is from the beginning to end out of this, but soul is identifying. So soul, let's to say, that's the point with the tatashta shakti. We are tatashta shakti, okay? We are marginal energy. So we can be on both sides. We can be in the material energy and act as we are here for real, but we can be also with the spiritual energy. So, and this is just a point of consciousness. When you identify with a material body, you are in the material world immediately. So, the consciousness is like the point of going through the looking glass. Okay, if you change your consciousness of material, you just whoop, and you are in the material world, and you have to do everything opposite. But when you change consciousness on spiritual, whoop, you are in the spiritual world. So soul doesn't change, okay? When you go to the other side of the looking glass, you are not changed as a soul. You are still the spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna. You have your 78%, you know, of power, and but you are not aware of it because you think you are the body. So that's called covering, okay? This identification covers you with a ego first, false ego, then the intelligence comes, then the mind covers the souls, then the ether, then the talking about elements, just basic elements like ether, air, fire, water, earth. These are the coverings, and they constitute, yes, the mind. Also the mind is the one of the coverings, yes. So basically the soul is never here. Just by identification we are here. But by nature we are spiritual. But by identification we are here. When we, of course, identify with the material body. If we change our consciousness for Krishna consciousness, that means that we understand that everything is Krishna. Krishna is This is his energy. So when you just make this consciousness, why Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, why the pure devotees it said they live in the spiritual world? How it's possible? They are here, so how can they be in the spiritual world? By consciousness. They are by consciousness there. They are still here with the material body, but their consciousness is changed. And that's what the example of iron rod and the fire is given. So the changing of consciousness is the process of, you know, getting hot. And then at a certain point, the iron rod becomes like a fire. So it means that this is still material body, but acts on the spiritual level. So, it answers your question? He is on both sides. He created the mirror. Okay, but it's the other. So do the opposite. I meant I gave the example. Like first, the Alice was running out of the house. Okay, so you have the rasa lila, and you have the material reflection, which is sex enjoyment. So natural for the soul is to go to the nectar, to the rasa lila, okay? That's natural because we are soul, we are full of bliss. We want this because this is for us natural. So in reflection, you also go for this, but you shouldn't. You should go the opposite, okay? The opposite means you turn from the lust and you go the opposite. There is no lust in the direction where there is no lust. So that means the opposite. You do the opposite. Okay? Hare Krishna. Mangalavati Chitra Mataji. Yeah, in the Padma Purana there is this verse which says that all the rules and regulations given by acharyas serve only two purposes. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. So if you remember Krishna, or if you chant, you are connected immediately with the spiritual energy. So that's, you are switching back to the spiritual. And then you just lose it, so you are back. And that's Tatashta Shakti. We are here and there, here and there. So that's why the recommendation is to remember Krishna 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, the whole life. Just if you remember, you are connected. You are connected to the spiritual energy, and this spiritual energy changes your consciousness. You become the spiritually conscious. You have a question or just scratching your head? Okay. Okay. Shall we stop here or because it's like 40 minutes? Yeah, but it's up to you if you are still. Okay. So in this verse, as I said, this is the section about the transmigration of the soul. So this section, because in the second chapter there is the verse Dehinos Miniat Hadehe Kumaram Yovarnam Jara, and Krishna explains that we are changing the bodies, but here he says a little more and explains in the previous verse it was explained that like the aromas, there was this analogy that the living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another as the air carries aromas. Okay, so it means they are carried by subtle body, by mind, okay, and intelligence, these different conceptions of what we have. And then here in the verse 10, Krishna says, of course, it is said in the verse before that that we change this body, so we obtain different body, different senses, different eyes, nose, etc., etc. Hare Krishna. And then in this verse, it is said that there are three things said. So first, that foolish cannot understand how the living entity quits his body. Okay. This one thing. The second thing, that they cannot understand what sort of body will be given in the next life, because when you and the third thing, that so these foolish are called duskritinam, vimudhatma. Vimudhatma. Duskritinam, it refers to the to this foolish, but it's a different word. Vimudhatma. So this vimudhatma, they cannot they cannot understand first, and then they cannot know what body will be the next. And then to know this, you have to have the jnana chakshush, means the eyes of knowledge. Okay? And that's again, that refers us to Bhagavad Gita. Because this is the knowledge. Of course, this knowledge is elaborated very much in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the fourth canto at the end, Hare Krishna. At the end, we have this beautiful analogy of King Puranjana, where there is the description of the city of nine gates, and the intelligence means the soul means the intelligence and is entangled, etc. And there is also a description of transmigration. But here it says of about this vimutha, so foolish persons who cannot understand. And this sends us back to the chapter 7, where there are these four categories of vimuthas, or duskritinas, who cannot understand. In fact, it is said that they never surrender, but they never surrender because they don't understand. So these categories, verse 15. Namam duskritinam utkhah prapadyante naradamah maya ya pahrita gyana asuram bhavam ashritaha. So those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are the lovers among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. So these four categories, because the knowledge has been stolen, so they don't surrender. And these are mudhas, so they're grossly foolish. So they are compared to the persons who basically see the work as all what exists. They work hard, and all the money they get, they devote for the sense enjoyment, and that's all. That's all. That's the only occupation. Just work hard. They have no other concept of higher knowledge. Okay, the second class mentioned in this verse is Duskriti, or Naradama, the lowest of mankind. So they have the conception of void, basically. So they don't they are called Naradhamas, the lowest, because they don't allow others, by the propagating this conception, they don't allow others to elevate to the personal relationship with the Lord. So the next, they are Maya Pahrita Gyanas. So they have knowledge, but this knowledge Prabhupada says that they are learned, they are philosophers, scientists, but their knowledge relates only to the material energy. Nothing beyond the material, nothing beyond senses, so, nothing beyond speculation. So, pratyaksha and anumana. So only what they perceive by the senses, or just what they can speculate. And the fourth class of this who have no knowledge is asuram bhavam ashritaha. So demonic, those who follow the demonic principles. So they are openly atheistic. They have the conception of the religion, of culture, etc. But they have their own conception of God, or they deny, basically they deny the existence of God. So that means that hey, they have no knowledge. Okay, and so the verse says about this, that this persons who have no knowledge, they don't understand the mechanics of the how the subtle body changes the gross body, how the soul transmigrates from one body to another. So they also cannot understand what body will be given to the soul who transmigrates in the future, because this we can, if we got the knowledge from the Bhagavad Gita about three modes of material nature and how they work, about the next chapter will be about divisions of faith, so then we can easily predict or ascertain what type of body one receives judging by his actual behavior, by his actual what he is doing, how he is living, what he is eating, etc., etc. By this we can easily judge what will be the future of this person. You remember this, there are, I don't know if this edition of Bhagavad Gita, these famous paintings. By the way, we have, one day Bhaktarik showed me, we have these paintings here in Radhadesh. Original ones, yes. This you remember this half. Yes, exactly. They are here in Radhadesh. They were in the corridor once, but they I don't know what they did with them. But they are here. They are here in Radhadesh. The Bhaktarik discovered them in the roll somewhere. So this famous. They are here. So and with this we can predict if someone is into bodily conception and, you know, being exposed, he can become a tree. When someone is into sleeping, the mode of ignorance, he become an animal. Someone is in meat eating, so he becomes a voracious tiger. And then someone is in eating anything, so he becomes a pig. So that's how it works, because by this mechanics of working of a material world, whatever we meditate, whatever we want to use our senses for, the material nature provides us exactly what we are longing for. We want to eat meat. Voila, there is a beautiful tiger body. We can do this with the most detailed experience of tearing apart the living entity, which is still fighting for the life. So it's all this, all there. Sorry for the drastic examples, but that's what the nature provides us if we just want this. Okay, so that's the next point closes. So the basic point which is made in the purport, so this Vimuthas cannot understand, but those who develop spiritual knowledge can see the spirit in different forms of the body, and it's changing its body and enjoying in different ways. So how they can see? By jnana chakshush, by the eyes of knowledge. And how to develop those knowledge? Of course, by studying Bhagavad Gita, coming to the evening lectures, morning as well, and by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.